The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hello, this is Dylan Burrows. Glad to be with you to Every Man an Answer. This is a special edition. Pastor Mike is not with us today, but I am here with you as I usually am on Mondays. And I have a special friend today, Pastor David McGee. Many of you may know from The Bridge in North Carolina and Cross the Bridge Ministries. I want to introduce him in a moment. But first, I just want to mention a couple of things that we want to talk about tonight. Obviously, you can call about anything that's on your heart, any Bible question you have, but two things going on in our nation, especially right now, we want to pray about, talk about, and get your feedback on. The first is this hurricane that's taking place or has taken place in Louisiana and Mississippi, Hurricane Ida. It was a Category 4, many areas that have been flooded, the same areas in the same time as Hurricane Katrina 16 years ago. So we want to be praying for that. And if you have stories about that that's going on you want to share, please call in and we'll pray about that today. The second thing going on we want to mention especially is what is happening in Afghanistan. Today was that deadline of when the U.S. troops are wrapping up what is taking place there in the country after 20 years post 9/11. And a lot of concerns there. Obviously, we wanted that war to be done. We strive for peace. But the way it was done is a whole different story. And we still have some Americans left behind what we would call enemy lines, as well as many Christians persecuted and even those women and children who will be mistreated under the rule of the Taliban. So lots to talk about today. But David, just take a moment and tell us a little bit about you and your ministry as we get rolling here today onto Every Man an Answer.
Well, I started a church in North Carolina in my house years and years ago. Kind of followed Pastor Chuck Smith was my pastor for many years. He's with the Lord now, but had a real appreciation for verse-by-verse teaching and also a love for Israel. And so I know we'll get along. Known Mike Kessler for years and years. Years ago when we traveled, I would come to Mike's church and been through the amphitheater there and the Twin Falls and whatnot. And so, just love what the Lord's done through Pastor Mike and CSN and to Every Man an Answer. And part of uniqueness of my testimony is, I was born a deaf mute, literally deaf and mute. And I had 9 different surgeries and then needed to be taught to speak at 5 years old. And so it's just a wonder, you know, who God uses. And if, maybe somebody's listening out there and thinks, God couldn't use me. Well, if he can use a deaf mute, I think God can do anything with anybody. Amen.
That's an incredible story. And you hear that time and time again. People hear background, for example, I was raised in the middle of a national forest. Seriously, I had more animals as neighbors than I had people. A very lonely childhood in many regards, and yet God chose to use me just like he used a shepherd boy David to influence people around the world. So it's a blessing to be with you today and glad you can join us. And if you have pastoral questions especially, we'd love for you to call in and ask those tonight. So as we get started, I want to mention a passage from scripture as well. I know some of you are calling in and we'll get to you in a moment, but in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is at the temple and this is shortly before his crucifixion and people are asking him, what will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? It's interesting what he shares there. I'll just share a couple of nuggets of truth there. One, it says that nation will rise against nation in verse 7, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. These are the kind of things we're seeing today, whether it's war in the Middle East with Afghanistan and other places that we've seen. We've also seen natural disasters like this hurricane take place. And he says all these are the beginning of the kinds of birth pains that will be experienced toward the last days. And added to that, verse 9 talks about at the end of time, there will be increased persecution. And does that not ring true today? Many of the stories we've seen, perhaps you've been following a conservative broadcaster, Glenn Beck, who's been working to get Christians out of Afghanistan who are under the Taliban's threat right now. A lot to be praying about, but all these are signs of the birth pains of Jesus coming back. It hasn't happened yet, but it could happen any moment, especially as we see what is going on today. I want to go to Missy in Reno, Nevada today. Talk to us a little bit this evening, Missy. Glad to have you on the program.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so what's your question tonight?
So I'm just wondering why Scripture references both Jesus and Lucifer as the morning star. So I'm just a little bit confused on that one. I was hoping you could explain that today.
That's one of those tough questions of the Bible that you often see. She's asking, why does the Bible refer to both Jesus and Lucifer as the morning star? Pastor David, put you on the spot here. Let you take this one first. Tell us your thoughts on this. What do you see in Scripture? What have you answered on this issue over the years?
Well, it's interesting. It is a great question, Missy. We always need to lean on the Lord and not just, you know, our understanding of what's going on, and always understanding, you know, we sort of have a partial understanding of these things. But, you know, reality is there was a Bob Dylan song years and years ago as he was saved and touring that said you got to serve somebody, and you do have to serve somebody. And there's two stars you can follow. There's the morning star of Jesus, and then there's that false light of Lucifer, the morning star, which goes nowhere. It doesn't lead to life. It leads to death. We go to John chapter 10, and it says he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's three things he's done and does very effectively. But Jesus came to give life, and life abundantly. So it's all in which star you follow, if you will. And speaking of stars, this is a little interesting thing. Did you know the zodiac didn't start out as this corrupted horoscope thing? It actually started off as the Maseroth, which foretold the coming of the Messiah from Virgo the Virgin to Leo the Lion of Judah. Isn't that a neat little thing?
Interesting. Well, yeah. And as he was talking about that, I was looking up the verse where it mentioned that Isaiah 14:12 is where it refers to the morning star, talking about Lucifer. Mm. And then Revelation, where we see in chapter 22, Jesus being described as a morning star. Why are they both referred to as that? Well, in both cases, it's very clear that a morning star is someone or something that stands out above the rest. And that's really the context here. It's not equating Lucifer with Jesus. It's talking about how Lucifer, when he was in heaven, was a bright and morning star, but he was fallen and kicked out of heaven, is what we see in Scriptures. And then in the end of the Scriptures, we see Jesus lifted up as the bright and morning star, showing the true Lord, the true Savior, and not this false Savior or false Messiah that the Scriptures often talk about, even in Matthew 24 that we mentioned. Mm. So I hope that's a good answer there for you, Missy. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That clears it up. That's all right. For me.
Well, great. Yeah, well, stay on the line with us. Our producers there will have a gift for you, and I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah,
you too, Missy.
This Missy, and I encourage you to call as well. Our number, if you don't have it, is 888-ASK-CSN, or if you have one of those phones without the letters on it, like many of us do now, it's 888-827-5276. Again, 888-827-5276. We encourage you to call in and talk with us more. And as we're waiting on your calls, I want to refer back to what we talked about earlier in terms of Hurricane Ida. Many people have been asking these questions about why God allows these types of natural disasters, these things that take place that cause so much strife, so much chaos. And as a pastor, what do you say to those who have those kind of tough questions about the natural disasters in our world, Pastor? Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, you know, the world was a perfect place. And then Adam and Eve came along. And, you know, Romans talks about how one man sin entered the world. Now, that's important for us guys because it doesn't say by one woman. Right. Eve was deceived. She was alone with a serpent. And Romans seems to hold Adam as the one responsible. But, you know, we live in a fallen world. And a beautiful thing about the prophetic is it shows us we're going to come into an age where it looks like we're losing, but that's going to usher in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Israel, it's interesting, on Mount Carmel, where Elijah fought all those prophets of Baal, 400, and won the spiritual battle over them. When I was teaching from the Mount Carmel, I realized its geographical placement was important, because to the right was the Valley of Megiddo, better known as Harmageddon. Yeah. So, and talk about Afghanistan, bro. I was talking to a dear friend of mine, and we talked for a while and caught up, and I said, is there anything I can pray for you for? And he said, yeah, they called up my youngest son on Wednesday, and he left for Kabul on Thursday. And this was on Saturday when all the news was starting to hit. And it was like, you know, out of all the problems that I had that day, my son being in Afghanistan was not one of them. And we were able to get a lot of people praying for him. And consider, you know, he flew over to help set people free in Afghanistan, landed in the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, and told to stand down while all evil was just unleashed around him. And praise God, we... And got to pray for those Gold Star families, those 12 people. He got out to Qatar, so he's out of Afghanistan. I think possibly through the volunteer movement that's happening over there, which is incredible. That volunteer, there's the difference between volunteers and a professional. The professionals are standing down. The volunteers of Afghan wars are over there that know the networks, getting people out.
Yes, well, that's difficult. And again, we encourage you to be praying with us and also to be calling. Again, that number, 888-827-5276, 888-827-5276. We're going to go to Renee in North Carolina. She has a prayer request for us, I believe. Renee, welcome to Every Man an Answer.
Thank you. I do have a prayer request. I have a prayer request for protection for North Carolina tomorrow, as what's left over from Ida reaches us. It's just 2 weeks ago tomorrow. We had extremely devastating floods from Fred, which came up from the Gulf also. Multiple fatalities. The last body was just recovered late Friday. And we have 120 homes completely destroyed, and places so destroyed no home can ever be rebuilt back there. This is supposed to reach us tomorrow, so please pray for our protection, please.
Right now, just quickly, and before I do, let me just encourage you. About a year ago, I live in Tennessee, and we had a serious tornado in Chattanooga, Tennessee, devastated our community, went right through my neighborhood, had neighbors who lost their homes completely. It was a terrible time, and yet God continued to work in powerful ways. So despite the most tragic situations, there's always hope, and that's what we want to encourage people with. Those in North Carolina, those in Louisiana and Mississippi who are going through the storms now. But let's specifically pray for those in North Carolina who have lost homes, and take a moment to pray for Renee's request. Father, we thank you for this evening and this opportunity to lift up Renee and the area of North Carolina where they have just experienced flooding and the loss of many homes and many lives. We pray your protection upon the state of North Carolina, especially those areas that have just gone through a difficult time already, that you would watch over them and keep them safe and help them to lift up their eyes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Renee, thank you so much for calling. Stay on the line. We'll have a gift for you from the people there on the line with you. We want to go to Jane in Nevada. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hello. Oh, blessings to you.
Blessings to you. How can we help you tonight?
Yes, I just have a question, and maybe you could suggest something. I am a healthcare worker. I am a medical assistant, and my work is still optional as far as the COVID vaccination. My discouragement comes from several members of my church, because they're saying that, you know, the world is closing down on people as far as this COVID vaccination, and I'm really surprised that you are from the healthcare industry and you are not vaccinated. And I told them, I said, it's not something that I would like to get into for as long as I can delay it, and I would. I am really discouraged. So I have been in the same church for 28 years, and I was thinking lately of just moving on to a different one that is not as harsh as their judgment. But lately, I'm also considering to just move on to a different Bible study, so I don't hear so much of it. And I also do not want to keep on answering back what they're telling me, because I could cause an interruption or a disagreement. So I don't know. I just would like to, like I said, transfer to a different Bible study class. What is your suggestion for?
Yeah, you have two questions there. The first one about the vaccine itself, and you're in a difficult situation as a healthcare worker because you may be in a place where they do attempt to force you to be vaccinated or you would lose your employment, and that's a difficult choice that you may have to make. For most of us who are not in the healthcare profession, we have a little more freedom in terms of choosing whether to take it or not and not having the same consequences of losing our job. And I want to encourage people, we're not pro-vaccine, we're not anti-vaccine. We just want to encourage a nation where people are given the freedom to choose whether or not to take the vaccine, not to force people whether to do so. So we want to encourage you to, in many cases as possible, and embrace that freedom to be able to choose or not to choose and not feel like you have to do so for any particular pressure. At the same time, you're talking about your church and the discouragement there. And Pastor David, I want to give you a chance to answer this as a pastor. Your thoughts on when is the time you should consider leaving your church and moving to another one, or staying and doing something different to help your church and your spiritual life improve?
Well, let me mention one thing, Jane. I've got some friends that work in the medical community, and I can't mention, I probably shouldn't mention who they work for, but I was made aware that they had given a religious exemption to somebody. And I passed that along to my friends, who passed it along to their friends and to their friends, something obviously they don't want going public. But the word from their corporate attorneys went all the way up, and they said, we have to honor a religious exemption because they know they would lose in court. Right. They don't want to spend the money. So it's not well known. But you know, Jane, that is one option. And yeah, you know what, as pastors, it really hurts to see people, you know, that have walked together for years and years, and now all of a sudden they can't walk the same path because they disagree on masks or disagree on vaccines, when they agree about Jesus was executed, was buried for 3 days, raised from the dead, and we're following him and believe the word of God. But you don't think I should wear a mask, and you think I'm trying to kill you. And so the main thing is, you know, are you in a place that teaches the word and shares the gospel with an invitation? And if they do, then just weather the storm. And if they don't, honestly, Renee, you should have been gone before now. So try to find, if you're going to leave, don't just leave, then find a place. Just like you wouldn't, you know, quit a job and then go find one. Look for a church while you're in one and decide on which one you'll be going to, then leave that fellowship. And if they're not teaching the word and sharing the gospel, then certainly find one that is.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice. I love that idea that if you're going to go to another church, stay at the one you're planted at until you find the next place God has for you. That's good advice. We want to go to Daniel in Arizona. Daniel, are you there? Talk to us tonight.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding the animals that live before the fall, and how we've been taught most of them were vegetarians all of them were because of or sin. And I've heard mostly those conversations around land-dwelling animals, but I really haven't heard anything about what the fish of the sea or the whales were living off of before the fall, you know, or were they considered a different class of animal, or right. do we think that they were living off things like plants and algae in the ocean? I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure. Yes. Well, first I'll say that I try to stick with what the scripture does say and not go beyond what the scripture says. And on some of these issues, the scriptures do not give us the details we would like to have when it comes to some of the science. So having said that, addressing your particular issue, I think there's a lot of bad information about what the world was like before the flood. There really are people like you're talking about who believe that no animals ate other animals before the flood. And I just don't see that there's anything in the Bible that requires that understanding. There simply could have been animals that ate other animals before the flood. There's nothing requiring that. So those that were on the ark, apparently they got along long enough to get on the ark and off again. But before that, certainly nothing in the Bible that requires that. So I hope that helps in answering that part of it. And Pastor David, did you have any other words on that before we go to our next caller? I know we got several people in line.
Well, we just, you know, we lean on Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And like you said, but I heard a neat story. There was a zoo somewhere and something happened with the feeding of the fish and they stopped feeding. They replaced somebody. And it was just by accident. And somebody saw a chart and they were like, wow, they haven't been fed in 2 weeks and they gained weight. And then what they figured out is that the birds that were in the aviary aquarium were eating and dropping things into the water, and the fish were absorbing the nutrients through the water is what they figured out. So that could be a possible answer. Like, that's not in the Bible, but that is a neat kind of pseudo-confirming story.
Yes, there are lots of options of how things could have operated back then. Mm-hmm. We can find new information out about animal life that continues to enhance our understanding today. So I hope that's helpful to you, Daniel. Stay on the line. We have some gifts for you. Moving on to Monty in Idaho. Monty, welcome to Every Man an Answer. Monty, are you there?
Sorry, hello. Yeah, I'm here. I just got to turn down the radio. You know, it's hearing yourself talk. Well, I was listening to your guys' conversation about a bright morning star. And to me, I went over this a while back, and to me, it seems that the bright morning star is a position or a title for a position. And I believe that when Satan fell, that was gone, showing that he is the true counterfeit. And that's really how I took that at the end, because I was confused with that for a while until I really looked into it.
Well, but I would not agree with that one, because that puts Satan in the same position as the Messiah. And I don't think that that's an accurate biblical.
Satan, a great point, Dr. Bros. Satan and God are not opposites. God has no opposites. Satan is the opposite of a Michael or a Gabriel. And one thing I noticed when I dug through there, Dr. Bros, is that, yeah, both are called the morning star, but only Jesus is called the bright morning star, which is important in English and Hebrew. So.
Well, I throw out there, there are a lot of titles that we use even in English to talk about people as leaders. Mm. You know, you see the same thing in Hebrew. They talk about this term in the sense of leadership, both with Lucifer and with Jesus or the Messiah. But when you compare the two, there's no comparison. I mean, they're both leaders, obviously. They're both powerful. But when you compare Lucifer to Jesus, you can look at the temptation of Christ, 40 days in the wilderness, no comparison. You can look at what happened on the cross, no comparison. You can look at what happened at the empty tomb, no comparison. And when he comes back again, you will see there will be no comparison. So thanks for your view on that. Sorry if we don't agree on that one, but I think that's a better understanding than what you're sharing there. So stay on the line, Monty. We have something for you. Michael in Palm Springs, we want to get your thoughts before we go to break. Share with us tonight.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. What's your question?
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys, we're seeing the pressure ratchet up on these vaccines, you know, with the new variants, Lambda and Delta. And I live out here in California where they're just really cranking the pressure up on us holdouts. Most of the holdouts that I know have fallen by the wayside and went ahead and got the vaccine. And so it's feeling inevitable that ultimately I might not be able to hold out anymore. But I was just asking you guys, obviously, If I pray about it and if I ask God to help me with that decision, he will. I know he will. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that as they ratchet up this pressure. What do you think about a bunch of Christians that are getting the vaccine and, you know, feeling forced to? I just kind of wanted to ask your thoughts on that.
Right. Well, first, I'm not going to take the view that it's some mark of the beast or something that's going to associate you in that way. So don't be concerned from that perspective. But from a health perspective and from a freedom perspective as Americans, we have rights. No one can make you or force you to take a vaccine that you don't want to take. So you do have that option. As Pastor David has mentioned, there are some religious exemptions that you can perhaps go through depending where you are. But there are certain fields where that if you don't take it, you can be dismissed from your job. So there could be consequences if you choose not to do so. Hopefully you're not in that situation, but it may come to that. So at the end of it all, you do want to pray about it. You do want to seek wisdom on it and know that all the hype and media information that's out there is not always accurate and discern what is best, and then make a wise choice. So I'm not going to tell you to take it or not to take it, but at the same time, you do have some freedoms and you do have some options if you're concerned about whether to take the vaccine or not.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I share some of your concerns, but remember, you know, behind fear is the devil, you know, Satan, and it's Satan versus God is what we're coming to. And remember, God, the first thing he says, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm far more concerned that 97% of American Christians will never lead somebody to the Lord. You can't reproduce as 3% only reproducing. When you start seeing stuff like that, that gives me much more concern than the vaccine, because we can't survive on 3% reproducing.
Yeah, that's so true.
Share Jesus with somebody today.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, the vaccine is an important issue, but the most important issue is the gospel. And I think you mentioned earlier, it's frustrating as a pastor or a church leader to see Christians dividing over wearing a mask or not, or taking a vaccine or not, more so than our concern about the lost. If you look at the scriptures, Jesus is concerned about health. He certainly cares about the details of our lives, the number of hairs on our head, and says they were worth more than many sparrows. But when you see the stories of Jesus, it's about going after that lost sheep. It's about the prodigal son. That's the emphasis that Christ wants us to have, and not be completely consumed with these issues that divide us in this day and hour, regarding vaccines, regarding masks, and all these temporary things that are going to be part of a kingdom that will perish eventually when we are part of an eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Well put, bro.
All right. Well, hey, it's been good to talk to you. Stay on the line. We got some gifts for you. I know there's a lot going on tonight with questions out there, so we do want to encourage you to call. If you haven't gotten that number yet, it's 888-827-5276, 888-827-5276. Want to get your thoughts tonight and talk with you here on the show. Pastor David, as we get ready to go to a break here in a minute, just give us a couple of words of advice from scripture in terms of handling some of these conflicts that we see in our culture today. Now, we've got just a few seconds. Actually, why don't we just wrap up and go to break? We'll talk about that after the break. Stick with us here on To Every Man an Answer. Thanks.
Amen.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with a question for you. Has God been calling or prompting you to complete or perhaps start your college degree? At Calvary Chapel University, we're celebrating our new accreditation by offering you a 50% tuition scholarship off your very first class and 25% scholarship off the balance of your Calvary Chapel University degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off the first class you take at CCU and 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. Calvary Chapel University is fully accredited, 100% online, and 90% of our students graduate debt-free in Jesus' name. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off your first class, 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's Calvary Chapel University.
You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We're broadcasting on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Carolina. You can listen while in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Eden, the Winston-Salem area, and many more great cities throughout North and South Carolina. To find your closest station, log online to csnradio.com, and you can listen live 24/7 worldwide. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Arise, let the church arise. Bringing you worship music that exalts the Lord. Words and lyrics that lift up His name.
Reach to the, trust in the Lord, He set apart.
Expressions of worship from believers all across the world.
Trust in the Lord.
Heavenly sounds of praise to the King. Right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
Well, welcome back to Every Man and Answer. Great to have you with us today. We appreciate all of you who are out there, including those of you on Facebook. I know many of you watch the program there or on YouTube. And if you haven't checked us out there, please do. There's a growing community of listeners and viewers out there who are sharing their comments and thoughts and praying for each other. And it's quite encouraging and inspiring to be part of that. And as we come back again for the second half of our broadcast today, I just want to encourage you to join with us as we talk about today's issues. And again, that number, if you need it, is 888-827-5276. Again, 888-827-5276. And Pastor David, as we get rolling in this segment today, I want to take a moment to let you share a little bit more about your testimony again and encourage people about how you became called to ministry and how God has used you in recent days.
Well, you know, it's been one amazing ride. It's been an adventure, which is really what it is when you give your life to God. Now, Jesus wants to be your Savior, absolutely. He's called Savior 24 times in the New Testament, but he's called Lord 714 times. So he wants to be Lord. That means handing him everything, what you feel about masks or vaccines, everything, how you control money in your life, everything. You look to Jesus and you know, more than Christian, because I asked somebody that years ago and I said, are you a Christian? They said, of course I am. I'm an American. So a follower of Jesus, follower of Yeshua, I think is a better term for these days. And when we live in American Christianity, where 2/3 are saying there's many ways to heaven, basically calling Jesus a liar, follower of Jesus is a much better term. And we got some neat tools. And I tell you, among the tools is Dr. Burroughs. I had been going to his website before meeting him today at IamAWatchman.com. There's some awesome tools and videos on there. You really need to check that out. There's a free rapture kit, which is, I had to click that. If you don't get an email every day, we send one out from crossthebridge.com. It's absolutely free. You just go and put your email address on there. And also, if some of your loved ones don't know the Lord, please, you can go to lostlovedones.com and just put in their first name. And it's connected to hundreds of people who will begin to pray for your lost loved ones by name. And please become a prayer team member, because then you're getting these little texts and emails that are telling you about lost people needing to meet Jesus. And it just helps you have perspective in your day. So there's a couple of handy things for you guys that are listening.
Oh, that's great. And say that website one more time. Is it lostlovedones.com?
Yes, sir. That's the one for the first names of lost loved ones. And then for the email, which comes every morning. And we also do an encouraging text, but that's at crossthebridge.com.
Oh, that's great.
Crossthebridge.com.
Well, thanks for sharing that. We want to encourage you, if you have lost loved ones you'd like us to pray for, to do that tonight. And we want to go to Bob in Palm Springs. Bob, are you there today?
Yes, I am. And thank you for taking my call. My question basically is, can God ever tell you to get the vaccine? And I will just explain, I had already prayed and God told me not to get the vaccine. And then my granddaughter had a big wedding and they begged me to come, and you had to be vaccinated in order to come to the wedding. And they begged me to please get the vaccine because I was the grandfather and they wanted me to come to the wedding. And I prayed about it. And as far as I know, to the best of my ability, the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart reversed the decision and I went ahead and got the vaccine. So I guess my question is, in circumstances, would God tell you to go ahead and get the vaccine?
Well, I think about that in other situations, Bob. You brought up a great point. Can God tell you no at one time on an issue and then later on the same issue give you a yes? And I think that's certainly the case. There have been many people who felt called to a certain mission field, for example, and God said no at one point, and then years later, God opened up that opportunity for them. Sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's a job. So there are plenty of examples from real life that you can give where God said no at a certain time and then later said yes. when it comes to the vaccine, I think you can certainly pray about it. There's no verse that says you have to take it or you don't take it. So you pray about it. If you've sought the Lord on it, if you studied it and you believe that God didn't want you to do it at one time, then you're following through on what you believe God called you to do. And then later on, if you're in a situation where you need to reevaluate, to do so again and see how the Lord speaks. So we certainly don't want to trust our feelings. We want to get good input from wise counsel and from God's word and prayer and the Holy Spirit. But we certainly don't want to negate the possibility that God may give you an answer later that's different than what he gave you earlier. Pastor David, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, Bob, boy, what a great example, really, of, I mean, a Christian called to love somebody. And, you know, there's such a wide variance of what people think and understand and perceive on the vaccine. I don't want to assume, but even if you assume the worst, you know, laying down your life for a loved one is a very noble thing. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and do that necessarily, to have the vaccine, but we also need to understand, you know, some Christians, their jobs are literally depending on this. So, you know, I'm neither a heavy anti-vaxxer, or I'm certainly not a heavy pro-vaxxer. I'm more of a pro-Jesus guy. And so, you know, to me, the vaccination is getting to be a real distraction to Christians. And again, the concern is, you know, are we telling people about Jesus? Because there's a lot of people freaked out and fearful. There's a lot of people wanting to know how to be okay. And the being okay is not vaccine or not vaccine. It's handing your life to the Lord and saying, now I trust you with my life that I made a train wreck out of. I'm going to trust you with it because you're a bigger, you know, you're a wise God and you know how life should go. And so trust in the Lord through that, Bob. I mean, I was impressed that you would do that for a loved one in the sense of laying down your life. So don't let some Christian come and lay a heavy guilt trip on you when you did something very loving towards your granddaughter.
That's well said. And we appreciate you calling, Bob. Stay on the line. We should have some gifts for you there. We want to go to Jeremy in Arizona. Jeremy, are you there?
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. Definitely. I just had one quick thing. Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say a quick thing to Pastor David. Thank you so much for your ministry. You're instrumental to me when I was first coming to Christ. Your radio broadcast came on whenever I was driving home from work, and it was great. It blessed me, and it got me off my butt to serve for the church, and now I play guitar on the worship band, and I've been in for a few years, so thank you for that.
Oh, sweet, Jeremy. Thank you very much, man. What a blessing to know I encouraged you, man.
Yeah.
I hear some teaching that say you do it once and your sin is forgiven, all past and future sin. But also I hear that you know, obviously you want to be repentant of your sins as they happen, right? So is it something that you do daily, or what's the best view on that?
Yeah. David, go ahead.
Yeah. If, you know, what I find personally is every day, my flesh, myself, wants to jump up on the throne and act like God. And I have to say, no, flesh, that place is for God. And of course, my flesh goes, oh, so sorry, got the wrong seat. No, your flesh goes screaming and crying, no. But it's really where we find true peace is when we really give ourselves to the Lord every day. And that term repent, we've kind of altered it a little bit in English. You know, in Hebrew, it's turning to God. And if you think about it, we spend our lives turning to God. Yes, there is that moment when we turn from our way and sin to God. But, you know, we spend our lives kind of getting distracted and looking somewhere else and God getting our attention and, you know, back and forth. And so turning to the Lord, like the word says, the righteous man falls seven times but keeps getting back up. The wicked fall once and stay down. That's kind of a paraphrase. But so every day, you know, each one of us has to get up and focus on the Lord. And also, Jesus said, love God, love others. How do we love others? We tell them about Jesus.
Amen. That's well said. And also, you remember the Lord's Prayer. It tells us to forgive our debts, also forgiven our debtors. It's something we pray on a regular basis, not just one time. So there's a role for us to continue to confess, to ask forgiveness. Even though we know we've been forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, future, when we come to the Lord, we know that we need to confess our sins even on a daily basis. None of us is perfect. So that's a good answer, Pastor David. Jeremy, thanks so much for calling in and for your encouraging words about David's ministry. We appreciate it. Stay on the line. We'll get some gifts for you here in just a moment. We want to go to Kim in Texas. Kim, welcome to Every Man an Answer.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My question is in regards to the vaccine, but not just the COVID vaccine, any vaccine. It contains aborted fetal tissue. How do we reconcile that? Because the COVID vaccine contains it, shingles vaccine contains it, many other vaccines. And, you know, I just, being very pro-life and very much against abortion and the use of aborted fetal tissue for any purpose like that, in any manner, hair products, makeup, all the different things that they use it for, I'm personally so much against. But, you know, when they start putting it in our medicines and things, how do we reconcile that as Christians? How do we reconcile that? And I'll hang up and listen, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay. No, thank you so much. That's a great question and a difficult question. And I'll say at the front, I am not a scientific or medical expert, so there will be limitations to how I can respond. But I do want to give you a good resource. A ministry that's here on CSN that has done a lot of work in this area is American Pastors Network and AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. I know the people there. They've done a lot of research on this exact issue about the vaccine, about the relation of aborted fetal tissue and some of the forms of the vaccine and how that should be handled by those who are followers of Jesus. They have some great resources. I encourage you to go and check those out because it tells you which ones have and which ones haven't used that, and different ways that Christians have responded and what they recommend. So I think that will be of benefit to you. But I would also agree with you that I am very concerned about any vaccine that is used aborted fetal tissue. And it doesn't matter if it's recent or if it's distant, as in some of the arguments that are made about it being from something, you know, 30 or 40 years ago or more. That doesn't really matter. It's the matter that it actually uses it. So if that's the case, you want to be aware of it at least and make a wise decision. And even Catholic scholars have recommended to, in any case that you can, use one that has not been developed that way. So there's no perfect answer out there from the religious community, but there are some answers. And I think AmericanPastorsNetwork.net does a good job of that. Pastor David, did you have any other comments on that issue?
Well, you know, it is a concern, and Kim, I really appreciate your heart for the unborn, and that's something very important to understand, because when you go back to Egypt and the deliverer 400 years, and then you go to Jesus, the first coming, 400 years of longing to deliver, they were killing babies in Egypt, they were killing babies as Herod, we are killing babies as a country and still are. And November 11th, 1620 was Plymouth Rock, and the Plymouth Contract was written then, the first governing document of this nation for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 400 years later to the day, November 11th, 2020 is when we got a new president, pretty much right around there. It's when Biden was declared winner. I'm more concerned that they've struck down the Hyde Amendment, which kept them from spending taxpayer money on abortions. They can now spend your money on abortions. And not only that, they sent abortionists to every country that receives aid from us with the insinuation, if you don't welcome them, you're not getting any more aid. So I'm probably more concerned with the government that sets itself up like that against God, then, you know, the vaccine is important, but sometimes it can be like a little distraction to some of the more serious implications that are going on. Again, it all goes back. If we can always remember, it is God versus Satan. It's good versus evil, and it's not going to be a 15-rounder. God's going to lift his pinky, and we're going to see he's creator God, and it's going to be amazing.
Well, that's well said. And there certainly is an issue of priority to worry about. And I think about about that myself. There are issues like this where you're talking about vaccines that may have aborted fetal tissue, and that's a concern. But then you have actual abortions that are taking place on a daily basis in our country. And that's much more concerning to me because those are lives that can be rescued. You can't go back and do anything about aborted fetal tissue from years past, but you can do something to save lives now. So I want to emphasize as a pro-life Christian that that is what I want to focus on the most when it comes to the pro-life issue. One thing you mentioned, the Hyde Amendment, has been a part of our government standards for some time in terms of keeping government dollars out of abortion funding of any kind. And that's something that has been changing with the Biden administration. So people wonder sometimes, does it matter if I'm involved in politics or not? Well, that's one issue where it certainly does. So if you don't know the info on that, look up Hyde Amendment, what it means and who supports it and who doesn't. I think you'll be shocked. So thank you so much for your call. Appreciate your time. We want to go next to Wayne in Arizona. Wayne, I know you've been on the line for a while waiting. Welcome. How can we help you today? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I understand from what I heard just a few minutes ago anyway, maybe I misunderstood, about 97% of Christians do not even try to win someone else to Christ or has not won someone else to Christ.
Yes.
What was this true statement? I don't understand.
97% of all Christians will never lead anybody to the Lord.
Wow.
97%.
I think that's an American church study. I don't know.
Yeah, that is an American church Christian study. I think it was by Barna, which is a great organization for that type of research and studies.
Right. So, yeah, we're certainly talking about the American church and just talking about church members in general. So you may have a church where that's not the norm, and I hope it is, where many people in your congregation share their faith and lead people to Christ. But if you look at churches across our country today, you'll see the majority of them do not share Christ, period. They either have bad doctrine or it's just a church that may have good traditional biblical doctrines, but they are dead churches. They aren't sharing the gospel. They aren't alive by God's Spirit in any way that's making a big difference in their church's community. And we want to pray for revival in those situations because I believe that despite how dark it is, that God may not be done with us yet. And I don't know about the answers for our entire country, but at least where you are today, if God works in you and God works in the people around you, your community can be changed. I want to encourage you with that hope that it's not over. Don't give up. All the scriptures in the New Testament that Paul talks about, all the difficult times in the last days, he talked about it at the same time he was sharing the gospel with everyone around him and leading people to Christ. So even if it's tough, we could still be sharing Christ and making an impact where we are. Wayne, I hope that's encouragement to you. Did you have any other questions for us?
No, not really. And thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. God bless you all. And you have a great day, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, for calling.
On the line. I appreciate those comments. Isn't it a shock to many of us to think that so many Christians or so many church people around our nation will never even share their faith, and yet there's so many out there, whether it's from, you know, COVID or whether it's from a natural disaster or just from the everyday things that people die from, who are dying on a daily basis, spending eternity apart from God. If we really do that should change the way that we live. It's really heart-wrenching when you stop and think about it. As a pastor, David, when you look at what's going on in our world today, what are some encouraging words you can give to people who are really trying to live out their faith, but they're discouraged?
Well, you know, we need to be very careful on our diet of news and also with our phones, because realize our phones are hooked up to some of the most powerful computers in the world, and they know us. They know what our preferences are. They know what pulls us online and what doesn't work. They know what our favorites are. They know how to distract us online. Have you ever gone on your phone to do one thing and then 30 minutes later go, what did I come on here? That is your phone working you. So be careful with your phone. Yeah, and when you get upset, put your phone somewhere. Give it to your spouse or something until you calm down. That's a great tip. But better yet, be using social media to share the good news about Jesus. And out of all the things that we face today, you know what? If you're a born-again Christian, you've been born again, Romans 10, 9, and 10, and 13, you've called on the name of the Lord, believed, and confessed, you know, you don't have the problem of going to hell. And there's a whole lot of people in this country that are going to hell, some of them sitting in church pews every week, but they've never been born again. And so there's a whole mission field out in front of us. We've had huge Latino growth in North Carolina where I am. And it's interesting. She called in for a prayer for this. I mean, I'm talking to you from North Carolina. And you know, some people complain, and I really thought it was inappropriate because here's some folks, you know, as a mission field brought to our door. And so we started English as a second language to help them and plug into where they needed to plug into and stuff, and saw a lot of people saved and even a Hispanic church birthed out of it. So, you know, God's always wanting to do something much bigger than we're usually thinking about. And Christian, right now, he's wanting to do something huge through your life with your neighbor, with your friend, with your coworker, because many of them are very scared and very confused, and you can offer them hope and peace through Jesus. And that's huge, especially right now.
Yeah, so those are some encouraging words and well spoken as a pastor. We need that encouragement. We need that hope. We also have another question here. Wayne in Oregon, I believe. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Oh, doing great. What's your question?
So moving forward, I know Christians were really convicted about lying. We know it's not a good thing. We shouldn't do it. And if you're knowing that all these shots going around into people aren't bringing them immunity, and it's they're getting sick again after getting these shots. Do you move forward and continue to lie to people knowing that that's what's going on?
Well, that's a good question. We don't want to lie as Christians, certainly. The question is whether what we are saying is true or whether it is not true. And that's where it becomes difficult with things like a modern vaccine, because most of us are not medical experts. We're going based on what we read or what we see, and we do the best we can. So when we start seeing the cracks in the information or the changes like people have complained about with Dr. Fauci, we start getting concerned because we thought one thing, but now something else is being said, and then there's confusion. And we don't know at what point is it truth or what point is it a lie. And a good example now is what's happening with the Delta variant. Many people have gotten vaccinated. They think, oh, yay, we're free now. We could take off the mask and live like we used to before the pandemic. And then suddenly this Delta variant comes along and people are getting sick again. Even those who are vaccinated, all the lockdown measures are coming back out again. And people are saying, what's going on? And then you start hearing people talking about another shot and perhaps a shot every few months or every year. And when will it end? And so now everybody's upset and confused and mad and angry and discouraged. And all these frustrations are coming out because we don't have a clear answer regarding what the problem is and what the answer is to it. And we're all getting little bits and pieces and trying to figure it out. So you're right. There is a concern with whether there is lying going on. And then we have a concern of how to respond to those lies as Christians. I think for starters, we need to do our own research. There are too many out there as Christians who say, well, the doctor said it's okay, so I guess I'll take it. Well, I think your doctor's pretty smart, but I think you can also do a little research as well. You can get a second opinion. You can do a little reading on your own and see if that's something that's appropriate for you. You can get some other options. Pastor David had talked about a religious exemption if you have concerns about it. Some of you may not have even been aware of that. So there are other possibilities. Another thing to consider is that these vaccines are not perfect. The maker said that up front, but I think they over-exaggerated their effectiveness, in my opinion, because when you look at some of these variants, the numbers are something they did not expect with people who are vaccinated, where there are so many breakthrough cases. So we want to be careful how much blame we place on some of these groups because they didn't know that it was going to happen like this. And they're trying to rebound and figure out what to do now that their first solution didn't work as well as they wanted to.
Right.
Pastor David, do you want to give any more thoughts on this real quick? You just have a few minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was, Wayne, I thought it was a couple things that were very interesting. You know, the government mandated and said everybody in the military has to get this. Colleges are saying everybody's got to get this. Hospitals are saying everybody's got to get this. Are you aware the White House does not have vaccines mandated with White House staff? That's not very encouraging. There was also something, and again, we're about Jesus, but I just thought it was interesting on this side of the States in West Virginia. They had some kind of a Pfizer truck or Moderna truck overturned, and hazmat showed up. They show up for oil, gas, whatever. So that wasn't that big of a deal. But then they called for a protective air that you couldn't travel over it in planes. And now that's a little weird. That's a head scratcher. But again, we got to keep looking at Jesus, because at the end of the day, it's not if somebody's had the vaccine or not had the vaccine. Do they know Jesus? Have they been born again? And this is such a huge distraction right now to the real question is, you know, does your neighbor know Jesus? Does your coworker know Jesus? And it's important. And I'm sure Dr. Bruce can talk a little bit about how you can come. It's very simple. And if you don't know how to lead somebody, figure it out and be ready, because God's looking for saints that are ready to share with the saints. Amen.
Amen. Well, you mentioned already about praying for our lost loved ones, but if you're out there today and you don't know Christ, that is where to begin. We want to encourage you. Pray to the Lord, believe him as God's son who rose from the dead, and you will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thanks for joining us today. Here on to Every Man and Answer. It's been a pleasure to be with you, Pastor Dave. I know Pastor Mike should be back here with us next time, and we'll join you again here with Every Man and Answer.
Keep looking up. Jesus is coming.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226. Or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.